Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPVC-LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
And hello, everybody. Thank you for being with us today here on WPVC 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. We're so progressive, we're going to have librarians on. That's how progressive we are, talking about reading. So progressive here at 94.7 WPVC. That's right. Meredith Dickens, Lindsay Idison on from Jefferson Madison Regional Library. We're going to be talking about summer reading, suggestions, things that you should be doing. I heard Leslie and Hayden talking about put your Xbox down, how to make the kids do that and go out and do something. Well, that's what we're going to give them, suggestions, not just for them, but for you. Ladies, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
A little closer, or maybe I'll just turn up the microphone a little bit.
We can get closer.
Yes. You can get closer, yes. As I say, turn down the aura.
Okay.
You can get a little closer. Lindsay, you are the North Side branch manager.
Yes, I am.
And how's it going out there?
It's been going great. The construction, however, on Rio and 29, well, we'll have to see how that impacts us.
Well, I think we're all curious as to how that's going to impact not just North Side, but everyone.
It certainly has been interesting. We do have directions on how to get to North Side from multiple different directions on our website.
Good. We'll mention that a little later in the hour, too. Challenging, I guess, because you can't cross over now. If you're coming from Rio Road, whether you're coming from the Albemarle High School visit, whether you're coming from East Rio, the putt-putt way, you can't do that anymore. You can't go across.
That's right.
We also have Meredith Dickens, the collection manager.
Yes.
Formerly of Gordon Avenue branch.
That's right. Yep.
What is a collection manager?
Well, I get to manage the collections just like it sounds. So I'm in charge of selecting the books that we put in the collection, and the ebooks and the music and the movies. And also, once they're in the collection, making sure they're in the right place and they stay in the library for as long as they need to and people are finding them.
Keeping them for as long. So actually, books get taken out of the collection.
Sure. We get picture books that come back sticky with jam or with torn pages, and we need to replace them.
Darn those kids.
Yeah.
Or the adults with...
That's true.
Really need a paper towel.
Right. Sometimes we get adult books with jam on them, too. And it means they were enjoying the book, but the book wouldn't be enjoyed by somebody else. So no. We replace it.
Do you take books out that... I guess all books fade over time, the binding wares, mm-hmm. or something like that. Do books come out of the collection because they just don't get taken out often enough?
Yeah, certainly. There are trends in what people are reading, and our library can't hold all of the books ever. So we want to make sure we have the books people want to read. So as books fade in popularity, we might get in more popular books. We also have to make sure that all of the information in our nonfiction books is up to date. So as medical information and scientific information changes, we'll take out the older editions and we'll put in newer books to make sure that they're accurate and up to date.
So if a book, let's say, I have a problem with this. As someone who has trouble getting rid of books.
Yeah.
Even if it hasn't been taken out for 4 or 5 years, you would get rid of it rather than doing something electronically and keeping it in the collection that way?
Well, yeah, that's an option. We would definitely take a look at it. We wouldn't automatically get rid of it. If it's a classic, or if we think that it's going to come around again, or we just should have it.
What if it's Danielle Steele?
Well, I mean, we have, her books are still read, so I don't think she has a problem with being withdrawn, but...
Too bad. Sorry, I'm showing my own personal issues.
There's a book for every reader and a reader for every book.
All right. So Meredith Dickens again and Lindsay Idison from Jefferson Madison Regional Library. We're going to be talking about summer reading. We want suggestions from our librarians. We're going to talk about things that they have enjoyed so that you out there can start putting together your reading list for the summer. You should also be reading during the non-summer months as well, but this is sort of the iconic time. Find your summer reading out there. So who wants to start? Let's start slowly because we're not going to spend the whole hour. We're not going to rush through this with 55 minutes. I don't have 55 minutes. I'm assuming the two of you, we don't have 55 minutes worth of books to suggest. But
we're librarians, Rick. We could talk about books all day.
Let's go. But what's the number one thing you have on your list here that you want to make sure that somebody gets? Lindsay?
I wanted to talk about the fiction for adults that are based on real characters, such as The Paris Wife, Circling the Sun, Z. These are all novels, but the main characters are actual people. Circling the Sun is about Beryl Markham. The Paris Wife was about Hadley Hemingway. Z is about Zelda Fitzgerald. I thought they're very interesting books, and they tell a great story, and it introduces you to the life of someone that you may not want to read a biography about.
I'm going to make sure that the show will be podcast. We are recording it for podcast. I'm going to ask Dan Gold to go through and make a few notes on this if he can, maybe not immediately, because it gets put up for podcast fairly quickly after we finish. But we'll go through and do our best to take a few of these books out and put them on the list as well. Why does this particular topic or genre, I guess, catch your attention?
I'm not sure why it catches my attention, but I do like the way these stories are told, and perhaps because it's a fictionalized version of their lives, the author can put in conversations that she doesn't know if those conversations ever happened, but she sort of fictionalizes and dramatizes, but she uses the essence of their story. We have a list at the library of many of these titles. In fact, we have many book lists, and we also have a wiki with a lot of lists on it.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've done this series of shows during the Memorial Weekend for 5 or 6 years now, I believe, maybe longer. And Lindsay, I usually end up reading numerous books that come out of this hour that we do. Churchill Secretary, would that fall into this genre? I think something.
Do you mean the mystery series?
Is that Meredith is nodding her.
I remember we did talk about that series, and that is historical, but I don't think
Doesn't fall into this?
The main character, the detective, was fictional.
I remember reading that book, and that's.
It was fun. It was a good series.
Yeah, I've only read that particular book. So
I think there are four.
Yeah, at least four.
The author's last name is McNeil, and yes, she's a plucky girl detective, mathematician. But the author is very good at putting her into a very specific historical time, meeting Churchill and Princess Elizabeth at that point.
Okay, that's why I didn't remember. That's why I couldn't remember whether I didn't think of it as being quite that. Much of a fictional novel because I'd only read the first one. And
right.
Great
historical detail, but less of a biopic.
Got it.
Or biobook.
Rick, I had a couple other titles I wanted to mention.
Please do.
Give a minute. One is Station 11 by Emily St. John Mandel, which is sort of a futuristic dystopian story, but it is so realistic that you feel it could happen. It's about a virus that attacks the world and people die, and then what happens to the people who are left because society as they knew it has disintegrated. And it's not my usual reading at all, but I was fascinated by the book, and I can highly recommend it.
Okay. At what age group? Because we always tend to think of people, I mean, when you go into the bookstore, or even if you go online, however you do your, or into the library, however you do your search for books, they always seem to be broken up by age group as much as they are by genre. I tend to break that down. I don't care about that anymore.
That's right. I think a lot of people, we have the term YA, or young adult, which in the library we sort of say is 12 to 18, but we see adults reading young adult books all the time, and young adults can read adult books sometimes, and it's loose in terms of age range.
And graphic novels have really made it loose, don't you agree? They are so popular, and teens read the adult graphic novels, and adults read the teen graphic novels.
Yes, all ages.
So what else? You have Station 11. Did you have one after that?
Yes, actually, I wanted to recommend, if you haven't read it, these are books from a couple years ago, is The Rosie Project by Graham Simsion, and a newer book called A Man Called Ova by Bachman. These are just charming stories about people who are sort of unusual and humorous, just really entertaining fiction.
If we have time, I can piggyback on that. If you already read those a couple years ago and like them, the new one is Be Frank With Me by Julia Claiborne Johnson. That also has really a charming story about quirky characters.
I think that author's going to be in Charlottesville.
Oh, that's great.
At the New Dominion Bookshop coming up.
Ooh, see, there you go. That's a little tidbit that you didn't find anywhere else on the radio. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, getting progressive here on the Sunday morning wake-up call with our two librarians, Lindsay Idison, the branch manager of the North Branch at Jefferson Madison Regional Library, and Meredith Dickens, the collection manager, here today talking about books and reading. Meredith, what else you got there?
One of my favorite books from the last year is Kitchens of the Great Midwest by J. Ryan Straddle, and I think that's the way they say the last name. And it's about a woman who was born in Minnesota. It's definitely a Midwestern feel to this book, and it's told in each chapter is a story not about her, but about someone else in her life from birth. It starts with her dad, and then it goes through, say, a high school boyfriend, and then another woman who was a mentor. And so it's sort of about her, but it's also about all the people in her life. And it's also about food, because her dad's a chef and she becomes a chef. And it's about the food bringing together the community. And it was just, I thought it was a really great book to sink into.
Now, the books that the two of you are mentioning, are these new books? Are these all recently published within the last year?
In the last couple of years. Yeah. A lot of times we like to recommend things that aren't the absolute newest book, because those have hold lists, and you've already heard about them if you've, you know, looked at the newspaper or TV. So we like to dig back and make sure that those really good ones from a couple years ago aren't forgotten.
11:13 here on Sunday morning wake up call. How do you find a new book? And by that I don't mean newly published. I mean something that I don't know what to read next. The author that I usually follow doesn't have something out. The series that I've been reading is finished, or is, you know, 8 months away before book number 5 comes out. I tend to wander the rows, you know, pulling books out, waiting for the marketing thing to catch my eye, or pulling out the back and reading the paragraph on the back. And let's face it, that's not the way to judge the book by its cover.
So many people do that.
You know, how do you do it?
Well, the library actually has a service. It's called What Do I Read Next? And if you go onto our website, you can tell our team of professional recommenders three books that you enjoyed. And they'll send you back a list of suggestions of books. And you can do it as many times as you want. We do it for kids and for adults. And so that's a good way to find new books.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
JMRL.org.
Yes.
And what was the service called?
What Do I Read Next?
What Do I Read Next? And you tell them three things that you've read recently that you really liked?
There's a little form you fill out. You can also just describe a book that you might want to read, or the kinds of books you like. It's pretty loose, and they'll just go from there. And they might send you some suggestions, and you say, oh, I've read those, or that's not quite right, and then they'll try again.
Huh. That's fabulous. I had no idea that was a service there.
Personalized recommendation.
Wow, that's really cool.
You can also talk to a staff member at any branch, usually at the information desk or at the public service desk, and ask for suggestions. Also, all the branches do book displays. At Northside, we have at least 4 displays going at every moment, and one of them is staff picks. So you can see the name of a staff member in a book above it that person has recommended.
Again, we're talking about books and summer reading with Meredith and Lindsay from Jefferson Madison Regional Library. You can find some of these services we're talking about and that we will be talking about at jmrl.org. So how do you teach a kid, or I guess teaching may not be the right word, but how do you get a younger child of any age from 4 or 5 to, let's face it, some of them are 12 to 14, who doesn't show any interest in reading? What's an early step for a parent to use to grab their interest? You want them to read. You know it's important. What do you do?
I think the number one indicator is have them see you reading. It's really great to just have reading as a part of your life. Read to them, but also read yourself around them. And then the next step is to find material or books that they're going to like.
Also, we have the Summer Challenge, which we should mention.
Sure.
Our summer reading program is called the Summer Challenge. Everyone can participate, kids, teens, adults, and it's the same challenge sheet for each age group, just the prizes are different. And one of the things is to read for 30 minutes, I believe, one of the challenges. And I always say to families, this is a great way. If each person in the family can do this, you can have this 30-minute quiet reading time. The mothers always think this is a fabulous idea for them.
Yeah, I bet. Can you, you know, I have a, one of my sisters works for the public school system, not in our local area, as a reading, I'm not sure what her official title is, reading advisor, something for like the first and second grade. And so for kids who are having trouble reading, she, you know, traverses that county area. And I had asked this question before to the two of you. Mm-hmm. Seems appropriate every year, though. And Lindsay, you had given me the answer 1 year that said, what does the kid like?
Yep.
What toys are they playing with? What video games do they like? And find a book on that topic. And I had just chatting about this with my sister 1 year. And, you know, she sort of, you can see the, you know, sort of eyes go off into space thinking about it. And that's what she, you know, ended up doing, I think, 1 year. You would, I believe that your answer was about pirates. Does the boy like pirates? Then get a book about pirates. You know, is the movie that he likes to watch always about pirates? Is he watching, what are the Johnny Depp movies that I can't think the title of at the moment? But, you know, if the topic is about something, then find the book that's about that those characters, whatever, and then incorporate that into the reading.
That's exactly right, yeah.
And I found that to be a very worthwhile answer 1 year. That was great. And I think it might be being used in the professional realm in my family.
Well, I think that it's important to find something that catches that child's attention. For a child who says, oh, I don't like to read, you have to find that book that really grabs them. And for a lot of kids, it was Harry Potter.
Yeah, what kids don't like magic?
It's true. And we have a Harry Potter coming out this summer. That might be one of the biggest events we're looking forward to. They're calling it the 8th story. It's not a book. It's the script, parts 1 and 2. But it is coming out July 31st. So we are already ordering copies.
And we're having a big Harry Potter party at Northside.
How many? So for a book like that, mm-hmm. How many issues would the library order?
A bunch. We'll pre-order some, and then we'll start to watch how many people are putting it on hold, and as more people place things on hold, then we'll get more copies, and as many as we can afford.
Are we talking about 20, 100?
I hesitate to say a specific number. I think I've ordered 40 or 50 so far, and I don't know how many of the last Harry Potter we eventually got, but it may have been around that or more.
Do the we started here talking about books that sort of end their run with the library system because they have sticky pages or they just don't get, you know, their use. When you go to the book sale, mm-hmm. One of my favorite times of year here in the area. I love going to the library book sale, usually in April and November, mm-hmm. but go to the website and check the calendar. It's listed on there as well. You can always find Harry Potter books if you need to fulfill your collection.
True.
11:21 here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. We'll come back in just a moment and we'll get a little deeper into other book suggestions. Hang tight. All right, everybody. Thank you for being here with us today. One of my favorite shows of the year. I love talking about books. I'm going to have to move out of my cabin sometime soon, and I'm trying to determine how many of my books is the library going to get for their next book sale, and how many am I going to keep? When you read a book, it should have three lives when you're done. You keep it, you give it to someone to read who will appreciate it, or you give it to the library so that they can have it to make money off of at their book sale so they can buy new books. Those are the three things that you should always do with the book after you've read it.
I might put a plug in for the Friends of the Library who run the book sale every twice a year and give all the money they get to the library for its programming. And you can become a member of the Friends of the Library, and then you get into the preview sale the day before everybody else.
Ooh. Yeah, but then I have to work the book sale.
You don't have to volunteer at the
book
sale.
I can just be a member?
You become a member by sending in a donation.
Well, okay. Because I'm telling you, working the book sale, wow.
It's very exciting.
It is very exciting. It's also kind of crazy.
It's, yeah.
I mean, when you get all those people in there who are hyped up to buy books, and there's so many books there, it's like letting the kid into the candy store, all those crazy people, and I'm one of them. I know what I'm talking about. All right, Meredith Dickens, Lindsay Idison here from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. So let's talk about some other book suggestions. Some of the things that I read in the last, because we didn't do the show last year, so the show was taking a break from version 1 to version 2 here at WPVC. And so we've talked about people reading out of the age, skipping the age tag that maybe put on something. I read a book that I found to be really, when I finished it, it was one of those books that felt so satisfying when you were done. You didn't finish the book. It didn't leave you hanging, waiting for, you know, second book in the series or anything like that. But I finished it and I went, wow, that was very, you know, that was a good meal. The Evolution of Calpurnia Tate.
Oh, I love that book. Yeah.
And now a second book did come out. Mm-hmm. And it was also a really good book to read. But I really liked The Evolution of Calpurnia Tate. And I don't know what age group it was written for. The main character is like 10 or 12 years old.
Yeah, something like that.
But she spends all this time with her grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
You just feel this connection between the 12-year-old, and I don't know how old the grandfather was. I had the image in my head of him being about 70. The two of you have both read that?
It was a while ago, but I remember really enjoying it.
Yeah, I would suggest that to folks. It may be something, I don't know how old your child would be to be able to read it.
I think safely any upper elementary on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, it's not full of SAT vocabulary, but I just found that to be incredibly satisfying. It was just one of those books that stuck in my head because, and I think it won an award as well. I wish a Newbery Award. Is that a writing award?
It didn't win the main Newbery Award. It may have been a runner-up.
And then some other books that I found that these are not newer releases. Inkheart.
Mm-hmm. Cornelia Funke.
Is that how you pronounce her last name?
I believe it's Funke or something like that.
F-U-N-K-E.
Yes.
And this book is quite old. I believe this is maybe from the late 60s even.
Maybe not that old, but it is, yeah.
The real life characters are reading a book that's where the villains in the fiction come to life and cause some serious trouble in their lives. And that actually does become a three-part series, although each of the books is quite long.
Mm.
I always recommend this to people, this one book. Jasper Ford,
mm-hmm.
and Shades of Gray. People always say, oh, yeah, I read the one. That's the one with all the sex in it. No, it is not. It is not 50 Shades of Gray. Shades of Gray by Jasper Ford. Shades of Gray is all about this society where everyone is categorized by the types of colors that they can see. And it's, aside from being hysterical, because he does his commentary and his humor is, you have to really be paying attention to get it and to understand it. I found the book itself, the commentary on culture, to be quite entertaining. So I throw those three out there at this time.
Yeah, Jasper Ford is a great author. He also wrote the Air Affair series, which connects to Inkspell because it's about fictional characters coming to life, but for adults. And they're great caper mysteries, but really funny. A whole series about a literary detective who goes into books to fix things, basically. And so that's always a fun story. If you like Douglas Adams or other things like that, just sort of wacky.
Yes.
And slightly offbeat. That's a good series.
Yep. Some other books to suggest for summer reading from the two of you?
I'd like to suggest Leanne Moriarty and Jojo Moyes. Jojo Moyes wrote Me Before You, which is the name of the movie that's coming out this summer.
I'm not sure of that one. You have to fill me in a little more. What's the genre and what's the...
It's adult contemporary and English, about a young woman who's sort of at loose ends, doesn't really have a job, and lives in a small English town, never went to college, lives at home with her family, and she gets a job caring for a man who is paraplegic because of an accident. And he's young, and so it's a very sad, and he's very embittered. And it's about the story of their relationship. It's sad, it's funny, it has everything. It's one of those clutch to your chest books.
Oh, my. So I'm supposed to get sad when I'm doing my summer reading, too?
I think if you're moved, that's okay.
So I can cry while I'm at the beach?
Yes.
Okay. What was the author's name again?
Jojo Moyes, or Moyes, M-O-Y-E-S.
M-O-Y-E-S. Dan, are you writing all these down out there?
And there's a sequel to it called After You.
All right. So, Dan, again, we're going to put some of these authors and books up in the text on the podcast. Again, books and summer readings, what we're talking about here today with Lindsay Idison, Meredith Dickens from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. We've already found out you can go to the jmrl.org website and get some books suggested for you. How very cool is that? You know, when I went to the website, something really cool that I found out, you can go and have nature backpacks given to you?
Yes, that was a program throughout the state. The backpacks were provided by the state and to encourage use of the state parks. So you get to check out a backpack, and inside is all sorts of things to help you explore nature, in addition to a pass to get into the state parks.
Free.
Free.
And you get it for 3 weeks. Then you have to bring it back for somebody else to help.
Right, and it had a magnifying glass.
A bug kit, and all sorts of information.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. I mean, you go to the library, and where you can check out a backpack to go outdoors, and you get a free pass to the state park to get your kid. I mean, I guess that's what it's for. I mean, but it's family oriented,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
But you're trying to get the kids interested in going to the parks to learn more about nature.
That's right.
I thought that was really cool. If you go to the website, folks. Sunday morning wake up call listeners, thank you for being here on WPVC 94.7. Go to the website, jmrl.org. You will be amazed at all the things that are there. It's not just go there and let me check out my book or see what the hours are at my closest branch of the library. It's really cool to see everything that goes on and all the available things. Lindsay, you run the North Side branch, right?
Yes, I do.
Do you have these events memorized in your head? Maybe not the exact date and time, but some of the events that are going on over the next couple months that you can tell folks about?
We do have some in our head, and we also, though, rely on our website to look at. And also, we will have a booklet out called Beyond the Books, which lists all the events at all the branches for the summer. But we haven't gotten it yet.
But
it should be coming any moment.
But just to tell folks who are listening, again, not to say yes on June 5th at 7 p.m., not to be that detailed, but to just say yes, we're going to be doing... And I can't remember them all either. But I know that at the Northside branch, you have toddler things, right? And you have...
We have, in the summer, we're going to have 7 story times a week for different age groups. From school age, toddlers, babies and books, awesome afternoons, step-up stories for kids in first grade and second grade. We also have for adults, we have a Wednesday evening book club, we have a mystery book club, we have craft programs, we have a Stitches group for children and families. We also have a Tuesday night movie once a month. We just have an incredible number of teen programs, including an anime club, a game night, and a book club, and plus there are weekly programs that vary each week. So we're talking about 30 or 40 programs every month.
And all of our branches have similar programs, so it really just depends on where you want to head up.
I saw one, and I can't remember the branch, that was how to create a cartoon or a cartoon character that I thought was really cool. I mean, as a teenager, mm-hmm. for myself, sort of embellishing, isn't that what cartoon characters do? that how many teenagers would love to be able to create a cartoon character, make them into a superhero, learn how to do that, learn the parts that go with that? You don't have to have skilled drawing abilities to do that.
That's right.
You may not... get a paying job doing that, but just to be able to create it, set it up, and go from there, to get that knowledge free from the library for, several visits over several weeks during the summer, fascinating.
Right, because it's not just about reading things you get at the library, but also about creating your own stories, and we have writing workshops and other things like that to help with creating new stories.
11:35 here on Sunday morning wake-up call. We are talking about the Jefferson Madison Regional Library with our friends Meredith Dickens and Lindsay Idison. Books and summer reading suggestions. How do you break yourself? How do you suggest to others, because I think the two of you have already done this, break oneself out of a set genre?
That's a good question. It sometimes requires, it's very easy to say, oh, I like this book, I'm going to read another like it, and then another like it, and that's always a good option and fun. But sometimes you do want to challenge yourself, and our summer reading challenges, if we go back to those, would be a fun way to do it, because we have a bingo card, basically, of 25 different kinds of books, and you pick a book in a genre that you haven't chosen before, or a green book, regardless of genre, or a different format. Read a graphic novel if you haven't yet. And if you have a hard time finding a title that will suit you in that genre, you should ask a librarian.
So where do I get my summer reading card?
The sheets are at any of the branches, and you can also download it from the website.
Okay.
And then each month has a different sheet, and when you do 5 of the challenges, you can bring it back to the library and get a prize.
And my prize options are an Xbox, so I never have to read again.
At Northside, if you're an adult, the prize is a free book.
Of your choice.
Of your choice.
From
a selection.
Yes.
If you're a teen, I think the first prize is a really neat set of earbuds. And if you're a child, the first prize is a ball. And there are, I think, some choices in the ball area. And then both for teens and kids, the July and August prizes will be free books.
You know, when I was starting to read, I got caught up in series, you know, whether you're whatever the series was then or is now. And it seems today that for a lot of writers, especially newer writers, that you don't even get signed on to be published unless your book can be a 3-title series. Is that what you see coming into the collections, into the library?
Yeah, I think especially once you get into the YA and age range, we do see a lot of, and you mentioned with Calpurnia Tate how satisfying it was to have that standalone book, and it's hard to find those. Is you read a book and it ends with a cliffhanger, for marketing reasons they're gonna have that next book to hook you in, which can be fun if you do enjoy reading the series, but it's also hard to wait for that next book when you're hooked.
Yeah, and so many of them seem to have, they won't even publish the first one until the second one seems somewhat far enough along that you can get 4 or 5 pages of it printed and at the end of the first book.
That's right. They'll give you a little teaser.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of your favorite things that you do at your jobs at the library?
My favorite thing is recommending books to patrons.
Yeah? Do you find that you're doing books that you liked?
Well, naturally, I do books that I like, but I also talk to the patron about what he or she has read and enjoyed. And I try to read widely enough that I can make some recommendations in various genres and across the spectrum.
When I ask that question about things that you like, I mean, do you get together as a staff so that you know what your staff has liked that you may not have liked, that you may not have read, so that when someone comes to you face-to-face, and rather than going to the website and presenting their 3 books for that offering that's on the jmrl.org website, that you can go beyond your personal favorites.
Definitely. We have a manager's meeting most months, and at the manager's meeting, there's a portion of time where we discuss books we've read, and that's a great place to get suggestions.
Mary,
and then we incorporate them into our lives. Plus, we do displays. Everybody on the staff reads. We do book lists. There's a lot of discussion of books at work because that's what we enjoy. It's pretty organic and that we are learning a lot about different things. Also, at my branch, I require the services information staff to read a certain number of books each year.
How many books do you read in a month?
It depends on the month and the books. I would say 4 to 6.
4 to 6 is a good average. Meredith, what's your favorite? Because you've gone from, since I've known you, from branch manager to buyer.
That's right, yes, selector. I would also say it just like seeing all the new books. My new job, and I do get to, you know, I'm looking at what's going to be coming out, what's going to be published in the next couple of months, and I'm constantly looking at all of the new books. But I also enjoy getting recommendations from other people, either from the public or from other staff, about books that I didn't know about already, that are, again, outside my normal stream. It's very easy to follow my own authors and say, oh, this is great. And then somebody comes along and says, have you read this? And I'm like, no, but thank you, I will. And my to-read stack just grows and grows.
Yeah, when I was, I've started in anticipation, knowing that I have to move, I've, started boxing things, that sort of preparing. And so I have, it's almost embarrassing, I have boxes, and I don't mean little boxes like you might buy a case of beer or something in. I mean big, heavy boxes that are full. I think I have 3 of them that are full of books that I've purchased at the library sale over the past number of years that I've yet to get to read, because I pick something out of it and then I go buy new books and I pick something out of it and I go, because I'm bringing more in faster than I can read going out. And so I will always have more, or someone suggests something, I leave here and I'll go buy 7 new books. All right, 11:42. We'll come back. We are going to continue to throw out new topics to put on your list for you to buy, you to find, you to provide for your kids for the summer and beyond. All right, back in action here. WPVC 94.7 Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. The progressive voice of Charlottesville, getting progressive with our book suggestions. Lindsay Idison, Northside Branch Manager for Jefferson Madison Regional Library. Meredith Dickens, Collection Manager. She's the one picking all the books that you get to pick from when you go online, when you go through your favorite branch. Meredith, before I get into my next question, because I think it's going to take me a few minutes to go through it with the two of you. I want to chat about it for a minute. Sure. You have some other books that you want to make sure that we toss out there for people to consider putting on their summer reading list.
Sure. We've been talking a lot. We've mentioned, I think, all fiction titles so far, but maybe somebody doesn't want to really read a novel or a mystery. And one of the big trends in narrative nonfiction is natural history stories. I think Helen MacDonald's H is for Hawk really opened up people's ideas about books about humans interacting with animals. That was a memoir about a woman who was taking care of it. I actually didn't read it. I think, Lindsay, did you read it? But it was a woman's connection with a hawk. But it also brings in all of the information about the animal. I read last year Cy Montgomery's Soul of an Octopus, and it was this woman's fascination with the octopus, and they are much more intelligent and complex creatures than you might imagine. And her fascination with them really comes through in this book. She spent time at the New England Aquarium getting to know one specific octopus, and then talks about other aspects and octopuses. It's not a long book, but it was just packed full. I think I drove my friends crazy with, did you know this? Did you know this about octopuses? The entire time I was reading it. And then, did you know you shouldn't say octopi? You should say octopuses. But there's a whole range of books in that field right now. A couple coming out in the next month or so. The Genius of Birds talks about birds and how their behavior is much more complex and potentially intelligent than we would have thought before. And Franz De Waal's Are We Smart Enough to Know How Smart Animals Are? Is also getting a lot of press, and it is talking about basically how animal intelligence is different from what we think it is.
You know, one of my, why I asked the question earlier about sort of getting yourself out of whatever genre you normally read. And one of the things that I tried to do just somewhat recently, I guess maybe back at the, not the spring, but maybe the fall of 2015 book sale, was to leave the, because the fiction side was so crazy, I went over to, into the nonfiction side, and there's an entire wall that's devoted to biographies.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over to that, and I tried to, and I just stood there and went down, reading up and down the book sale, reading up and down that wall, and looking for interesting titles. Because it's not all, you know, famous people,
mm-hmm.
and,
yeah.
you know, their story written by somebody else, and it's 800 pages thick, and you've, you know, how many pages into it before I nod off? Some of them are nobody that you ever heard of, but it's just an interesting title. And one of them that I read was, I forget exactly what the title was, but it was something similar to Mennonite in a Black Miniskirt. Or is that the one you're here to talk
about? It's Mennonite in a Little Black Dress.
And it was, I won't tell you it was the most fascinating book I ever read, but the title caught my attention, and so I pulled it out, and I'm reading, and I thought, you know what? For 50 cents or a dollar, it's a worthwhile attempt to get myself into a new genre of books, and I enjoyed it. It was quite, and I pulled three or four out from that section. And let's face it, I don't want listeners to wait until November of 2016 to go do this. It's not what we're talking about. But that was a good book, and there are others like it.
There are a lot of memoirs, and I really like them, especially dysfunctional family memoirs. That's sort of my specialty. But also, you have to think that Orange is the New Black started out as a memoir. It's a story of her time in prison, and then it became the well-known TV show. That's the kind of thing people are attracted to. It's a woman you wouldn't otherwise have known about telling the story of what happened to her and how she ended up in prison.
Yeah, so that's, you know, think about that. You don't have to be a fiction reader, young adult, dystopian, and then go find, you know, go read about military history or something. Find something that's, you know, you can find something that's interesting that's just not in your section of the library or your section of the bookstore.
Yeah, one of the great books I read in the last year was Ruth Reichel's My Kitchen Year. And I just like food and cooking in general, and I always look at the new cookbooks. And this is a cookbook, but it's also a memoir of the year after the Gourmet magazine closed, and she was at a loss of what to do with her life because her entire life ended. So you might come to it from the food aspect of it. I want, you know, some more recipes. But then you end up with a really great memoir of what to do when your life falls apart. Or, you know, she went back to basics and just started cooking for her family. And that's what the book is about. So it's, you can come at it from either aspect.
There are a lot of really good travel memoirs, too, that I really enjoy. Bill Bryson, of course, is one of the most well-known travel writers, but there are a lot of others that are just fascinating, especially started by Cheryl Strayed with her book Wild about her hike on the Pacific Crest Trail. And then this year, there was Wild by Nature by Sarah Marquis, who hiked from the Gobi Desert down to Australia. And that was interesting. Not as well written as Wild, though.
So there's all sorts of books out there. Change your genre. Give that a try as one of your summer reading issues as well. 11:50 here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Doing one of my favorite topics of the whole year, having my friends in from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library, talking about books, things we should read, and talk about what goes on at the library.
We've done this for 5 or 6 years now, and I'm just now finding out that I can have other people suggest to me what I should read. And maybe I haven't used that because I have three gigantic cases full of books that I can just go pluck something out of. But I think I might use that next. What is the teen advisory board? I saw that was on somebody's on the website.
Most branches have a teen advisory board to allow teens to help plan the programs and help prepare displays for the teen area. We have an active one at Northside. And so it's just kids who are interested, like to come to the library, and then like to do things when they're at the library. And they are considered volunteers, so they get volunteer hour credit, which a lot of them need for school.
And I saw that you're planning for a Star Wars Reads Day in October. Somebody was. And I thought, oh, well, who wouldn't want to do that if you're in the right mindset?
That's
as a teenager.
Yeah, tying into if you like Star Wars, why not read about it?
Right. And if you're going to do the Harry Potter thing, waiting for the book to come out in
July 31st.
July, then, of course, you want to be ready for the event. And when we're hearing about with Homegrown before we came on, I believe they were talking about Harry Potter Halloween. Mm-hmm. So everything ties together, folks, here at WPVC. Hang tight. Pay attention. So here's something I want to get into. 11:52 on the wake-up call. Just a few minutes left here. So the greatest books of all time. How often should we update this list? Because I go to, I'm sort of doing a little homework for today's show. And I don't know who owns this webpage. TheGreatestBooks.org. And number 1 through number 40, number 12 is 100 Years of Solitude by Gabriel Garcia Marquez, printed in 1967. Mm-hmm. That's the newest of anything.
Yeah.
You have to go down to number 41 to get to Toni Morrison, printed in 1987. So there's nothing newer than 50 years of the top 40 books ever printed. How new do you need to be considered a great book?
I think that the reason most of the books on the list are older is because the book has to stand some sort of test of time in order to be considered a great book.
If you carry that over, though, it's one thing to consider that in the library, and I will go for that. But at what point do we carry it over to the school system and make the kids read these books that they have no affection for and no interest in, and we tell them, that's one of the greatest books of all time. You need to read that. And they're like, says who? It doesn't even make any sense. Look at the language in it. It makes no sense to me. Can't we read something a little newer that maybe not one of all time, but still a great book?
Yeah, well, I think we'll leave that question for the teachers, because when you come to the when you come to the library, we have all of the books, and we might say, do you want to read a classic? Because we have those, but we also have 50 Shades of Grey, or whatever you want to read at the time.
I don't know if I put that in the classics, but...
No, I was putting it opposite the classics. There are trends, and if you want to read what all of your friends are reading, you want to be up on the trends, but you also want to be educated and culturally literate, so that it's some of column A and some of column B, probably.
So when does... And I realize I'm not asking you to set a time when the bell goes off. But at what point would it have stood the test of time? Is it 50 years? Is it 100 years? What point can we say, yeah, we can now consider that to be, to have earned the right to be a greatest book of all time?
I don't think there's, you know, this sounds like a dodge, but there is no number. There are books rediscovered all the time, yeah. You know, books that were really great in their time, and then people forgot about for decades, and then somebody influential finds it and says, ooh, read this, and then everybody says, oh, yeah, no, that was good. There are so many books, it's just some... It's the luck of the draw sometimes.
Or sometimes books that are published aren't respected in their time period, like The Great Gatsby. But then as time goes on and people reread it and look at it again, it occurs to them that it is a really, really well-written story that is an important piece of literature.
Do you ever have, do you ever have trouble or, that's not the best way to phrase that, are there arguments made when a book maybe by the numbers of circulation, it's time to pull it, to take it out of circulation. It doesn't, people aren't taking it out often enough. And the branch managers, Meredith, when your group gets together, mm-hmm. they say, look, we just can't do that. It's a classic, or it's close enough to a classic, or, you know, look, it deserves to remain in here, even if it's only been taken out once in 3 years.
Yeah, certainly. And then we'll start looking at why hasn't. Do we need to make sure people know about it? Should we put it on display or read it ourselves and then talk it up? We can always, you know, find a way to justify it if it deserves a place.
Also, books get republished with better covers, and
yes.
We ask Meredith to buy us a new edition, and they frequently have a much better cover, and then the book will go out.
That's true. They look dated, and then they look new.
Does it? Do you find that it matters, or do you have to think about what branch that it's at? I recognize that you can go online and... select the book and have it sent to your nearby branch and go pick it up. But for the walk-in consumer,
mm-hmm. yep.
do you keep it at a particular branch based on who your clientele might be at that branch?
That's true. We do, because we have such a large geographic area that we cover with the four counties and Charlottesville, we have a wide variety of communities that we serve, and each branch has its own sort of personality of reader. But at the same time, we want to have a good core collection so that if anybody walks in, they'll find something to suit them. Mostly it's just physical space. Some of our branches are just much smaller than others, and they have to rely on the regional delivery to get the ones they can't hold on site.
Do you still have the bookmobile?
We do.
Where does that travel? I mean, can I go online and find that?
That's right. Her schedule is online.
And one more time, Northside Branch, affected by the Rio Road and Route 29 traffic issues. What's going on there? How do I find out?
If you go to our website, we have posted directions on how to get to Northside during the current construction phase, which will be over by September 2nd. So it's a temporary arrangement, but there are multiple different ways to get to us.
Okay. Just about 60 seconds left. Any suggestions you want to make on our way out for books? I have a couple here that my sisters sent me that I can use.
Oh, actually, I'm in the middle of a book, so I can't tell you how it ends because I don't know. But The Misadventures of the Family Fletcher, it's a great chapter book for grade schoolers. And it's by Dana Allison Levy. It's about two dads and their four adopted sons, and it's just a great family romp. If you liked the Penderwicks but want boys, then that would be a good one.
One of my sisters is in a book club, and she lets me know which ones she likes. Where'd that one go? Looking for Salvation at the Dairy Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Do either one of you read that? She's telling me that it was a small, because we grew up in a fairly small town, and she liked that one. It's one of the books where everybody knows your business. She also read The Pecan Man. What was the movie about the Southern family with the African American, where the woman in the family?
Talking about The Help?
The Help. Yes, thank you. With that,
which was also a book first.
You should be on a game show with that horrible description. If you figured that out. The Pecan Man, and I believe that there's a murder, and the family's trying, and they realize that they don't really have much in common, even though they're trying to help one another. And what else did she give me? Orphan Train. I have no idea what that's about, but she said of the books that they've been reading in the book club, those were her favorites. All right. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Rick.
Lindsay
Great.
Ison,
thank you, Rick.
Northside Branch Manager Meredith Dickens, Collection Manager, Jefferson Madison Regional Library. That's jmrl.org. Go online, find out all about the services that are there. Get the dates for the fall book sale, which will be the next one in line. And we'll put up some of the books that we mentioned in the text for today's podcast. Next week, Alzheimer's Association. Adios.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake-Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Production assistance and engineering from Sean McCord and Mike Friend. Be sure and join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for the Wake-Up Call, only on WPVC LP Charlottesville.